The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, Grand Bahama News, Janae's Uniform Center, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Right Honorable Hubert A. Ingram Chambers, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316 or 325-4259. It's 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 205720. That's 247-20. Or you can text us today on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are on Cable Bahamas, Channel 9. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. We may find by a guest in the first hour. Waiting to confirm that. But until then, we continue some thoughts. Along the lines of the Bahamas power, right? I don't think that there is anyone who understates how important our energy provision is in this country to things, whether it's to the individual residential households. It's important for their standard of living, for their quality of life. It's important for their finance, or to the business community. It's important for their ability to operate efficient, profitable businesses. It's important to the general economy because the extent to which we can provide reliable, affordable energy dictates the kinds of businesses, the kinds of sectors, the kinds of industries, and the overall impact that they can have on the economic well-being of the country and the people in the country. Specialization, because energy makes so many things that we use to stay in communication with each other, to be able to access each other, to reach each other, to move about, possible. So, and BTL, the former BEC, it's been at the heart of this for a long time. We have complaints about BPL. We have complaints about the Grand Bahama Power Company, okay? So you can have complaints, but to be sure, these companies, more particularly I'm talking about BPL today, have literally been massive factors in the quality of life and standard of living and economic success and progress of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. It's a fact, right? Baby, we enjoyed many periods in the Bahamas of enormous prosperity. We've enjoyed a standard of living and quality of life in this country that is enviable by many the world over. And they have been a part of that, right? And yes, today there are many things to be desired, and we are feeling the lag and drain and drag of their issues. But we have to always be able to acknowledge the good and the bad together. We have to be in your own life, in the life of other people, in the life of your country, in the life of things in your country. You have to be able to do that. We cannot be so dishonest as to simply say everything is bad. Everything is good. That's just being dishonest, right? There are most things are good, and some things are not bad. Some things are bad. Most things are bad, some things are good. Some people are mostly bad, and some parts good. And some people are mostly good, and some parts bad. We have to be able to do that, right? And so I am certainly not one of those persons that's going to dump on BPL and say everything sucks and everything's terrible, et cetera. Not when for many years I could walk inside my residence and be able to switch on the light. Yep. Turn on the stove. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Turn on the TV. Yeah, yeah. Turn on the computer. Turn on the kids' games. Well, how was I doing that? Well, I could only have done that if somebody was providing the power. Right? Going to the movies, watch a movie, wonder how I did that. Wasn't with solar power. Was electricity provided by BPL. And the movie didn't cut off in the middle. I'm not saying that's never happened to anybody. It never happened to me. So, you know, we have to be able to take the good with the bad. So now we're trying to get at more reliable electricity. We're trying to get at more affordable electricity. The government believes it has a deal. Now, again, and I am honestly asking, if you are listening to me, you're in the press, you're in the government, and the government has published something theirs. It has struck a deal with Ike. And that deal calls for, I am hearing 20-year deal with Ike to provide X, Y, and Z and so forth and so forth. All this company. What's it called now? Bahamas. Anyway, I'm going to get it. If anyone can confirm for me that they have seen something the government has published and indicate that this deal has been done, that it's a 25-year deal, these are the terms of the deal, please text me, call me, please. Please, I really am interested to get that so I could disabuse myself of the notion that that has not yet happened. Because I am not one of those people who believes that I can't be wrong. I know I can't be wrong. Yes. Bahamas Grid Company Limited. If you are out there and you know that you have seen from the minister responsible for energy, the prime minister's office, anyone confirming a 25-year deal that is fueling the provision of funding, the request for funding or the invitation for funding, Please let me know. Anyone. You know, I've had some conversations with some folk who said they saw something. I mean, like I'm saying, guardian crew, can you help me? Can you, any of you, confirm for me, you've gotten a press release, a press statement, something confirming a 25-year deal? Right? This isn't about whether or not a deal with Bahamas Grid can work wonders for the Bahamas, because I believe that that could be true. I'm trying to ask whether or not a promise that was made when this matter surfaced, because it was leaked, that once the deal was done, there would be a detail, the details of it would be given. I'm just trying to confirm that I didn't miss anything. This text says, as I recall, Minister said that the deal has not been finalized. She told Kyle Wilson, same thing, says this text. That was the last thing I heard, too. That's what, but you know, sometimes when you're moving about, you can miss things. Says Mr. Pintard was told the same thing by TM, says this text. Okay. Yeah. So what could explain then, like, if there has not been this disclosure and there is this great opportunity for us to improve the circumstances, what could explain saying so? Well, I mean, what could explain that? I mean, why would we not? Why would we not say to the country, listen, man, you know, even if the country don't agree with you, this deal is going to be good for us. Mr. Ferguson said so yesterday himself. Anthony Ferguson, Anthony Ferguson is not a light man, okay? This gentleman is a very serious businessman, very serious strategic thinker about things. And honestly, if he gets into something, I take it seriously, right? And I would on balance think there's some good to come out of this. He was involved with the fundraising and what have you for the new port there by on Bay Street, you know. Yeah, is it what? You see some of these maturations going on with respect to carbon credits and all that. Yes, the young man is brilliant, right? So I'm not about to second guess whether he strongly believes and has confidence that this could do positive things. So that's not the issue here. I'm talking about what I understood and heard from the government and what is now happening. I'm talking about that gap that's taking place because I'm not sure I didn't miss something. Someone says something to hide. I don't know. I can't believe that. I don't believe that. Why would there be something to hide? As I indicated before, Mr. Ferguson said yesterday, this is a company that has been building a reputation over 30 years in doing the business that it does. Why would it be involved with something that's something to hide? Hide what? I don't understand it. I don't understand why someone would not by now formally come out and say X, Y, and Z. Right? Again, people may not agree with you, your approach. So what? Right? I mean, you've done it. So you can't now say, I didn't do it. People can disagree with you. They could think there's a better way, a different way. That's what you made the choice. Somebody ought to say something. But be sure. Me, I have no notion in my head that there's anything untoward going on here, unless I get evidence to support the same. I do not go there like that. Right? I'm not like, let me tell you something, man. Let me be clear with y'all. No matter my political instincts, no matter my political preferences, I am not quick. I am not quick to think something untoward towards people's actions until there is evidence to support the same. I could think you're incompetent. I could think that you're inefficient. I could think that you're ineffective. I could think that you don't know what you're doing. But before I lead to you around the place trying to crook somebody, you got a high bar to get over with me with that one. Is Texas or are they puffed up with pride to come clean and explain the details? I'm trying to put myself in someone's shoe who would not have come forward yet to think why they would not have come forward yet. I'm really because if Pike is on the ground with construction supplies already moving, there is a company already formed. The company was formed in 2023 called Bahamas Grid Company Limited, of which the government is 40% owner. Even when the minister was speaking in the House of Assembly and the Prime Minister was speaking in the House of Assembly, they did not, I don't recall them saying, there'll be a 40% owners in a company we already formed for this purpose, a special purpose vehicle. Don't recall that. So I'm trying to figure, like, what could be the reason you just decided not yet? Okay, maybe that's not yet. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversations. We'll be back for the break.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and back on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Beat the heat with Dunkin's Happy Hour Colada Special. Every day from 4 to 6 p.m., enjoy a refreshing medium colada for just $4. Dive into fun, refreshing flavors like strawberry, blue raspberry, and vanilla bean. Feeling adventurous? Try our frozen chocolate or frozen coffee. Whatever your choice, we've got the perfect cool-down treat. Hot temperatures call for frozen drinks. So swing by Dunkin' from 4 to 6 p.m. and pick up a medium colada for only $4. Dunkin' Happy Hour. Sip, smile, and stay cool only at Dunkin'. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone. What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior's phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Line, your host. So glad that you could join me here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Still talking a little bit about BPL today. Thought I would have a guest with me, but not at the moment. Here is another thing. So, Anthony Ferguson yesterday said he believes that this will benefit the country if things go as planned. I have no reason to refute that, right? To dispute that. But I do have this one issue. And you can tell me if you understood something different than this yourself. All these years, the most I've heard about, even when I was in government, the most I heard about the challenges at BPL or BEC, not that there weren't others, but the thing that was at the center of BPL's challenges was the generation of power. Did any of you and I had seldom, I'd heard we need to improve the transmission and distribution infrastructure and what have you, but what did you and I hear was at the heart? The cost of fuel. Oh, these doggone generators. Oh, we just bought Wattzilla generators and that was going to solve our this and that's going to, oh, we're going to do this LNG deal with Shell and that shit. It was always generation. Now, I asked this question about generation yesterday. Someone who I think is knowledgeable about these things told me that the Wattzilla deal, or not Wattzilla, that the Shell deal is supposed to help with the generation of power part of the side of it. But that complete picture is not a picture being presented here. Because the most, I mean, why is the T&D deal really been blowing up? And all kinds of effort
happened on the T&D deal, but very little are you hearing about the generation side of it. Because I would think, so look at this. On the T&D side of it, you have the strategic partner in Pike. Pike does not appear to be, well, not appear, Pike is not a big financial partner in this deal. Pike is not putting a lot of money in this. Pike seems to be an expert partner, an expertise partner, and a partner that brings muscle to help you get strategic pricing and all that kind of stuff when you go and buy stuff. Well, on the generation side of things, the big issue is how much you got to pay for fuel. How much you got to pay for fuel? Well, where's the deal that might bring a strategic partner? Is that Shell? Who can help you, because you're buying from Shell. Who can help you buy fuel cheaper? But no, we're not going to deal with fuel. We're going to get it generated by LNG. How much is that going to save us? How efficient is that going to make us? You're not hearing that. We're hearing the most we're hearing is about the T and D. And I'm not saying the T&D issue is a problem. I'm just saying the full story of the process of trying to reform BPL would be useful for all of us. And we could then celebrate that on both sides of the divide, the operational divide, we will be able to get benefits. Stack says, Dr. Minnis, administration stopped the brownouts and everyday power going off. Also, the cost went down. Now we are back to power outage and higher bills in Nassau. If this deal can do the same, we are for it. Yep. And Donovan, those did have that to their credit. Okay, so if all goes well, producer, you want to take this call coming in, please? Please, this our guest calling in. So please let me know when the call comes in. We did see, and again, Donovan Moxie was on the show. Donovan was the chairman of the board of directors of BPL, and he did indicate we did see some cost savings on the fuel side, and he did say that he could only guarantee what was being seen for about a year. Okay. I think we have our guest on, ladies and gentlemen. He promised to do so, and I believe he's with us again. Mr. Anthony Ferguson, you're on the line, sir?
Yes, sir.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. Appreciate you coming back. I have one of the questions that was raised subsequent to your being on the show was Pike's involvement in this whole deal. Because Pike does not appear to be a significant financial partner in this. So are they a strategic expertise partner and partner that's going to help with the, I think one of the things mentioned in the memorandum with being able to save cost on the acquisition of equipment and that kind of thing?
No, I mean, the Island Grid is effectively Pike's Bahamian company. And so
right.
They're then able to leverage, 90-plus years of electrical experience in the South
right.
Florida, Georgia, Carolina areas, and able to allow Bahamas Grid to access, if you will, jump in front of the line to get access to transmission and distribution products. Just so you know, globally, $1 trillion is being spent on transmission and distribution. And so getting access to certain goods can take anywhere from 24 to 36 months. Because of our affiliation now, we are able to get those things today.
And the thing, one of the things that that people might want to take note of, I remember when Francis and Jane happened, one of the things that it exposed in Grand Bahama was the extent to which the distribution infrastructure had been so deteriorated because we lost all kinds of pools and so forth, and we lost power for long periods of time. And that's important, an important part of what's going to happen going forward for us since we are exposed in this hurricane zone.
Let's put it this way. When we had Hurricane Dorian, the Bahamas literally lost nearly 25% of its GDP within a week. And the problem is we have still not fully recovered because of the inability to provide or cure the infrastructure that was damaged. And so that could be for a number of reasons, financial, access to the materials, and of course, manpower. And we are saying that, first of all, once the remediation work is done, which should take, what would normally take 24 months is now going to take 12 months. Once that is done, there is an ongoing program to ensure the upgrade of all of the transmission and distribution, you know, within New Providence, such that when there is, God forbid, another kind of major disaster, we could mitigate it, but also, as part of Bahamas Grid's mandate, we would also be ensuring our grid so that we can have access to new monies to replace damaged infrastructure.
Okay. Well, one of the things I wasn't clear on the logistics side of things is, when BPF pledges its transmission and distribution, what does that mean? What does that mean? Is there a leasing going to happen with Bahamas Grid? Is there a transfer going to happen? And after that, what happens with the BPL? Like what? How the operation of that with BPL staff and what have you? If you know.
First of all, I mean the plan is that for its equity interest, it will contribute certain transmission and distribution assets, right? And as the employees will have an opportunity in that area to get, you know, trained and if so desire, come over to the Bahamas Grid and be gainfully employed. If not, they will remain with BPL. No one is going to lose their jobs.
Right. But let's, and so there's also potential employment opportunity for other people, because if you have people who stay over on the BPL side and the Bahamas Grid is operating the transmission and distribution and require staff, then they have to engage additional staff to do that?
Yes, there's a program that has been formulated, it's pretty much formulated, where we would take a lot of young men and women who wish to be in this line of work, career, to be sent abroad, learn how to do live wire connections, etc. And so they'll, you will soon have a new cadre of young people who have access to gainful employment in the industry of electrification and transmission.
Yesterday you were very firm on your belief that that this is going to benefit the country if all goes well. Describe those benefits for us, please.
Okay, I think you have to take it from the top.
Sure.
Several weeks ago, the Prime Minister and the Honorable Minister for Energy would have made certain pronouncement with respect to the new energy transition in the country. First of all, the fact of the matter is that one way to begin to grow the economy in a sustainable way is by reducing the cost of doing business in the Bahamas. Electricity is one of the major challenges for both the retail, the man on the street, and businesses in this country.
Mm-hmm.
We believe, based on everything that has been pronounced, and if goes to plan, you could effectively reduce energy costs by as much as 50% over the next 24 months.
50%.
The impact of that is about 1 to 1.5% sustainable increase in the Bahamas' GDP just by the relaxing of, or the ability for the average person to now have extra free cash flow, businesses to have extra free cash flow that they could invest, hire more people, and then the circulation of that money supply would have a significant impact on
Now, let me let people know how real that is. You operate a small business in this country, and by small, I mean, let's say you have staff of 3, 4, 5, 6. And let's say you have to run freezers and coolers and them kind of stuff. It is nothing to be paying $1,500, $1,600, $1,800, $2,000 a month to operate such a business. True or not true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know businesses where the 18 months ago, the cost of electricity was about $90,000, and today it's over
$200,000.
So I guess what I'm saying is, in addition to that, the Bahamas, again, with the leadership of the PM, has been a global leader with respect to climate change. We, as a country, has been using fossil fuel, which is not good for the environment. With the transition, as was pronounced, moving towards greener fuel supply like LNG, with the solar farms and the work that's being done or carried out in the family or will be carried out in the family island, we will become a more greener country. And in becoming a more greener country, it effectively reduces also the cost of fuel to run these generation, which again should result in the Bahamian people having more money in their pocket as opposed to paying, you know, $5,000, $8,000 a month.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, let's think about what, seriously, okay, let's say 50% sounds optimistic, and let's say we even did 30%. That's huge, even that for
that is huge.
The population. Huge,
yes,
huge.
Is,
I mean,
yeah.
That to be able to achieve that would be quite something.
Well, first of all, right, it, not only you have the savings, what you have, though, is the reliability. You have the stability of the system, which results in less damage to the person in Charles Vincent Street, South Beach, Golden Gate, having to replace their equipment at their own expense.
Mm. Mm. There is also some notion that an inefficient, deteriorated T&D is also maybe even pushing out more power to you than need because it's inefficient, and so you're getting billed for that.
I don't know much about that. I think from our analysis and work, we know that there's a lot of variability, volatility in the power, let's say in the eastern end of the island, which results in damaging people's equipment, et cetera, and sometimes not getting sufficient power, right? So that will be one of the first things that will be tackled, and I would say in the next 3 months we should see that being resolved, while at the same time upgrading, you know, some of the transmission. So right now, we believe, based on some work again, that between 20% and 30% of power that's generated is lost. So you're generating, paying for something, but you can't sell. Basically, just think of it as a restaurant preparing, 100 plates, but only could sell 70. But they paid. They prepared for 100, but they only sold 30. I mean 70, and so 30 is wasted. That's a cost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Somebody is asking, and again, this perhaps to dispel a myth that's out there. The source is saying, can you ask him why the shares were only put to 10 to 12 persons and not the him in public at large, noting the good return promised?
But again, you know, when you listen to narratives that are being put out there without any proof of whatever they're saying, then, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's that's one thing. The second thing is, when you look to take on equity risk, I think one has to be mindful that, first of all, you have to be an accredited investor, that you could take on the risk. And then what we like to do is we like to take out the risk of an investment and then go to the public thereafter when the risk is out and the system is up and running. Mm-hmm. So there's no 12 persons, and I don't know where that narrative came from, but, you know, again, I'm not in politics.
It came from Dr. Hubert Minnis. He said that in a speech to the House of Assembly.
Yeah, well,
former,
I mean,
Prime Minister.
He said a lot of things during the pandemic too, right? And so we know what happened there. So, you know, he's entitled to his opinion, but he's not entitled to facts, to amend the facts.
Would there have been any institutional investors who subscribe?
Of course.
Okay, so that alone would dispel the myth, because most institutional investors alone have more than 15 investors, eh?
Absolutely.
Okay, this says shares were offered in the port. Why not the same for BPL? But again, I think you explained that
let me address that. Mm-hmm. The shares that were offered in the port were offered in the port when the port was about to become operational. So in that particular transaction, we went to the debt market to raise the money. And if you recall, during that period, no banks would touch the port. No banks. We were able to raise the money in the debt market. We're able to build it out. We didn't got some international money for institutions. And after the port was to be completed, that is when the shares were offered to the public.
So not in the early stages of the risky business?
No. We would not have been able to sell anything. And the same thing here, we're doing a transformational infrastructure development, and you want to take out the risk before you go back to the public and say, hey, you know, here's now an opportunity where the grid is up and running, there's stability, there's consistency, there's less downtime, and businesses and retailers have a reduction in their costs. And now they can use that same reduction and invest in the infrastructure. Hmm. It's amazing how a lot of people talk about investing, but when it comes to investing, they don't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then they'll call and ask about investing in cryptocurrency.
let me give you another example. Even in the debt that was recently issued, you know, some of the institutions that you would have thought quasi-government agencies would have invested for on behalf of their pensioners and for the country did not participate. So it's one thing to talk about investing, but put your money where your mouth is. You know, did the unions invest? No. Did the pensions of those entities invest? No. So when the opportunities are presented, they should do the right thing. If they're so concerned about their people, to invest on their behalf. Certainly the general public felt extremely confident and have invested.
And so I know you told us you can only be with us in this first hour. So from here now,
I've cleared some way. So
you what?
I've moved some things around, so I could be on.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful! Because we know we didn't. We have a break coming up. I just wanted to give you a heads up about that. when the company has taken on the transmission and distribution system. I keep reminding people this is a company of which the government is a 40% owner, and then private investors. When it has come to do that, is there a 25-year deal for the company to operate this T&D?
Yes.
Okay. And so that means now that this company has now got what people like to look at the benefits, right? But this company now will also have the burden of that T&D should something happen in the way of a disaster?
Absolutely, 100%. You can't call it an uncle government anymore.
Okay, so something happens, the power's out, the distribution lines are down, and so forth, so forth. It is now Bahamas Grid that has to go and do the restoration of that, not BPL.
No, let's be clear. They will do the restoration of the transmission and distribution, not the generation. That's another, other people does that.
No. But Bahamas Grid is will be responsible for the transmission and distribution.
That's correct. But you had mentioned generation.
Yeah.
I just want to be very clear.
Yeah.
If the generator is off, that's not Bahamas Grid's problem.
Yeah, that's something different. Yeah. That's something. That's what I asked about. I talked about earlier in the show, and maybe you can help us. But just think around it when we come back after the break, which we have to go to now. Okay.
Sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we continue our conversation with Mr. Anthony Ferguson, president of CIFA, director of Bahamas Grid Company Limited, and so many other things, including the boss of these folks here. We'll be back after this break.
Through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm.
Start your mornings at Burger King Nassau with the new Independence Croissant Sandwich Combo. Enjoy a buttery croissant with your choice of ham, sausage, or bacon along with eggs, red onions, and a tropical sauce. The new Independence Croissant Sandwich comes with BK's classic hash browns and your choice of tea, coffee, or orange juice. Don't miss out on the new Independence Croissant Sandwich Combo, available all month long at Burger King Nassau. Happy Independence, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
The Guardian Media Group has your ticket to Paris.
On your marks, get set, go!
Join the Guardian Media Group, Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio 96.9, and Hot 91 FM. And follow Team Bahamas from Paradise to Paris. Live comprehensive updates on Team Bahamas every day during the 2024 Summer Olympics. We are your ticket to Paris. Nassau Guardian Sports Editor Sheldon Longley will be trackside, bringing you closest to our athletes in their quest for gold. From Paradise to Paris, the 2024 Summer Olympics. Live updates brought to you by gold sponsors, the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism, Jimmy Wines and Spirits, distributors of Refreshing Sands Beer, silver sponsor Executive Motors, and the bronze sponsors Hertz Rent-A-Car, Nagico Insurance, Bay Street Garage, Nassau Motors, your Chevy and Honda dealers, and New Life Natural. Let the games begin.
Stephen Gardner alongside 100-meter hurdler Devin Charlton.
living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. We have been speaking with Mr. Anthony Ferguson, president of Colina Financial Advisors Limited, which was has been involved with this BPL arrangement, in particular with respect to the private placement memorandum that we spoke about yesterday and are now mentioning today. Welcome again, Mr. Ferguson. We appreciate you coming on. You're still there, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. But before we go on, I wanted to do something because I don't assume that people often know what companies like yours do and why you are involved, for instance, with the private placement memorandum. So let's talk about why companies, entities come to a CFAL in circumstances like this in the first place, or what do you do for them?
I mean, first of all, I mean, our service offering includes what we call corporate advisory or advising businesses that are seeking capital to either expand or start up their business. And so, you know, what we do is we would meet, try to understand what they're trying to accomplish. We will run financial models to ensure that we are satisfied that the business plan is robust. We stress test it for different circumstances, recession, growth, average growth, great growth. And based on those results, we then advise on what we believe are in the best interests of the company, while at the same time having regards to the investing public and what some of their needs are. You have different public interests, so you would have insurance companies that need long-term assets. You have pension funds need long-term assets to match their long-term liabilities. And you have retirees who would prefer fixed income, less risky, more conservative, high income generating opportunities. And you have the young people who say, you know, I have 20, 30, 40 years to retirement. I could take some risk in the equity market. You know, based on all of those variables, we then would recommend to the company what we think is the best course of action to ensure that we have a happy medium where the company raises its money and the investors get a great return on their investment.
Okay. Now, you had mentioned earlier that if all goes to plan, there is this opportunity for 50% savings on the cost of power and so forth and so forth. Could not the P&D part of the plan be undermined if the generation part of the plan is not working well and the cost escalates on that side?
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't see how it can. I think, okay, again, I'm not a party to anything other than I read what's in the press like you do. The Prime Minister and the Minister, as I indicated earlier, made certain pronouncements that they intend to transfer the, they transform the energy sector, which would be the beginning of the revitalization of our economy. And as such, I would suggest and very well expect that in their negotiations with persons on the other side to provide generation, that they will do what's in the best interest of the public. And I have to believe that, given what we just went through on the grid side, you know, robust negotiation, you know, the people were involved, the AGs in his office and all of that, that team, they you know, they worked for and on behalf of the Bahamians, and they were aggressive. So I expect them to do nothing differently. So I fully expect, particularly with LNG prices coming down, overabundance of it, that, you know, those savings, as you say, it may not be 50, but even if we got 30 to 40% over the next 24 months, it's gonna, the Bahamian public should be will be very happy, at least their pocketbooks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in essence, I mean, I've heard pronouncements myself, but, you know, the most clarity to date on details, notwithstanding they haven't particularly come out from the government, it rests with on the T&D side. But the expectation is that some arrangement involving private sector participation in the same way as Bahamas Grid is participating happens on the generation side.
I mean, I would probably expect that. I mean, you know, you said you haven't pronounced. I mean, they did, the government, through BPL, did an RFP for the solar in New Providence for the Family Island LNG, renewable kind of LNG solar. So those persons or those companies would probably be bringing on their systems after they would have done their engineering work. But I'll say this much. None of those things, particularly in New Providence, can come on today if they were available today, because the system, the transmission and distribution system, cannot take it on. So the first course of action is to transform the transmission and distribution, upgrade those, so that when the solar comes on or the new LNG generation come on, the system could take it.
Right, but to be clear, that just so we are clear, when I was mentioning details, my and others in the press, the media community, last we heard from the minister and the prime minister was, when this deal is done, they will provide the details. That has not happened yet.
I mean, right? I'm referring to those.
I that's not happened yet. I've sent out invitations to those who could confirm that it has happened. I've gotten none.
Okay, but when I'm asking which deal are you referring to?
Well, the same the deal. Well, your placement is about
the offering memorandum. It encapsulates basically the HOA.
Yeah, no, but that's no, but no, but the government of the Bahamas has not, it is, I participate in the government, and I am accustomed to when big things happen for the government to make either a press release, a press conference, or a communication in parliament about it. That has not happened.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, again, so I'm not talking, you know, about, I'm not talking about, yeah.
World, not the political world.
Yeah. That's the governing world.
Yeah.
That's the governing world. Not, so I wouldn't want to diminish it by saying political, because it is true, that's political, but that's the governing world.
Well, the governing world, that's a better way to describe it. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And again, I continue to say to people, I don't bother with or trouble private sector people doing what they do, right? The government comes to you, seeks your support, and it's not, and I don't mean you as in CFAL or you, Mr. Tuff. For example, I mean anyone, right, in the private sector, you do what you do. I mean, why wouldn't I? If the government came to me and said, "Mr. Lang, we need your advice on X, Y, and Z and so forth and so forth," I'm gonna say, "Yes, sir. How can I help?" Now, if the government does it in a certain way that might bring some criticism to itself, that's on the government. That's not on the private sector individuals involved. So that's really only the reason why I mentioned.
Just to be clear, because you brought it up, I can tell you, though, if someone asks for our advice, we're going to give you the advice, what we believe is in the best interest of the Bahamian people.
Sure.
We have been doing that since we started in 1997, and we will not change from that. As we like to say, we are flexible in matters of style, but unyielding in matters of principle.
Well, you know, I understand that entirely. The thing about it is, I'll give you an example. One time, the Department of Statistics released some labor numbers. And honestly, in the economic environment at the time, they seemed rather good for the times. And some of the colleagues on my side of the political divide called me up to say, you know, that's incredible. How could that happen? You have to say something about this. And I said, why would I say something about that? I said, I'm an economist. The Department of Statistics released numbers. They're the ones to do the count. Why would I refute it? On what basis? So I only say that to say advice from a professional is advice.
Yes.
And you give the best advice you can give.
Yes.
And whether you like the advice or don't like the advice is irrelevant.
Right.
It's the best advice you could give. Right? So for people who are thinking about the long-term health of a BPL, et cetera, it is your view that based on what you know can be done, that health is going to improve, saving, and except something else happens that you are not aware of.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm.
And I believe, again, based on what the numbers would suggest, should everyone execute their part. You have the TNV, you have the generation, the power generation, and you have the solar. If everybody execute their part, I firmly believe that our cost of energy will be reduced, which will impact this economy to the tune of over 1%. And you would have
now,
and businesses having disposable income to invest. Do whatever they please with that fund.
Now, can I just say to the public listening, when you hear Mr. Ferguson say that the possible impact on the GDP is 1.5%, 1.5% in ordinary numbers is not huge, but that is huge in macroeconomic terms.
Yeah, you're talking about 150 to 200 plus million.
Yes, yes. And you're talking about revving up an economy that might be growing around 2%, 2.5% to about 4%. And that's significant.
Yes. We have to grow.
And you mentioned.
Problem.
Sorry?
I said we have to grow ourselves out of this debt trap that
absolutely.
You know, we're finding ourselves in.
And and quite frankly, I've said for years on the show, it's the only way that growth, robust growth, is the elixir that the Bahamas needs.
Yeah.
Right? Now, and you, one of the things you also mentioned that I think is noteworthy is you said this isn't a one-off 1.5%. This is a sustainable 1.5%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That will decline over time. But, you know,
sure.
The expectation is that with all of the new development that's coming on, again, it's just going to allow for the economy to grow in other ways. I was referring specifically just to the energy sector.
Right. Before we go on to talk about some other things in the broad economy, we do have a call on the line. Is that okay? We can take the call. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, Shivago.
Hey, Anton. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Shivago. Good afternoon to yourself, and good afternoon, Mr. Ferguson, and good afternoon to the nation. Excellent conversation. I'm totally enjoying. As a matter of fact, I wanted to contribute a few quick points. I was able to get some information based on the topic of discussion, Shivago, and then what you was discussing yesterday. And certainly Mr. Ferguson could chime in on this as well. Apparently, the minister and the Minister of Energy and Transport, Joette Colby Davis, Honorable Joette Colby Davis, and Prime Minister would have announced that the heads of agreement had been concluded. However, the operating agreement is being concluded by the AG's office, right? And and so hence the government is not in the position currently to make the broad announcement of conclusion. However, it is my understanding based on information I received that Pike is operating in strong and good faith. And what it took the government 10 months, almost 12 months to get done in terms of bringing, pardon me?
No, I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you.
In terms of bringing down 20 bucket trucks, which the minister recognized immediately was a deficiency in BPL's operations, it took Pike overnight in order to get 40 a year. And so that demonstration was brought about just to demonstrate the benefit on a micro and macro level that the government of the Bahamas and the people of the Bahamas, residents, expats, citizens, all alike, the benefits that the relationship with Pike will recognize for us in the short, medium, and long run. Things that BPL, even if it had the liquidity, would not be able to get done. Even if it had the liquidity, Pike, because of its outreach, because of its relationships, because of its strength, because of its size, can get done overnight, putting the Bahamas on a schedule or a timetable schedule of at least 2 to 3 years ahead of what it could do as an entire government on its own. Another point I want to mention, Shivago, really generation, and I heard this from the minister again over the weekend, as I was a part of a gathering where the minister spoke with reference to BPL. She pronounced that around 25 to 30% of the generation for electricity at BPL will be produced by solar farms. And so the government will not only rely on the traditional form of energy generation, but it will utilize the solar farms to save itself from having the heavy reliance on the fossil fuels and these kinds of things that the government currently relies on in order to produce the level of energy that is required for it to operate efficiently. One more point I'll end on this note, Shivago, that you and Mr. Ferguson touched on a bit, and it is that the minister was very strong in demonstrating to the persons in the audience that BPL has a serious problem that it cannot sustain nor support the level of energy generation that is needed, even with the 7 generators that was purchased, right? It cannot utilize or sustain or support the full form of energy generation that could be produced because of its lack at the grid level. And you and Mr. Ferguson got into that conversation on the flip side of that as it relates to what it costs the Bahamian people to not be able to access the level of generation or what it costs the Bahamian people to not have access to that level of generation. And so there's a major cost to be considered on either side. But the relationship with Pike, there's also massive costs that the Bahamian people will access because of their outreach and their ability to access the specialized equipment that the government of the Bahamas will need in order to operate at the level of efficiency required. And so there's massive cost benefit that has to be fleshed out in order for us to fully appreciate the relationship value that it is bringing from that perspective and not just the dollar value that will be injected. Thank you for the opportunity.
Anton, I have a new. They didn't even ask me for this advice, but I have some advice for them. For them, they need you to be their media czar. I mean that. I honestly, I'm not even being facetious.
Thank you, Shivago. Thank you very much. I love it. I appreciate it. Thank you for your vote of confidence. You know, I hold you in the highest of regard. I respect you as a politician, as a professional, as an economist, as a business person, as a government advisor, as a political advisor, and someone who still has a massive and great contribution to make to the development and advancement of our country and our people. And so I hope the Governor of the Bahamas continues to lean on persons like yourself and Mr. Ferguson and Gowan Bo and the rest of the cast to help us to get where we need to be, which is economic majority rule. God bless.
I appreciate your intervention, Anton. Really, I appreciate it. And I take on board what you're saying, right? Thank you, man. I appreciate it. That the government still has some operational things they're working out, and some so the details might still require that to be worked out. Thank you. Okay. I appreciate it. So Mr. Ferguson, we were getting into a little broader look at what is your take on the state of our economy at this time?
I think it's improving, has been improving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, when you start from a lower base, which was about 2 years ago, the first year or two, the improvements are more dramatic.
Yeah.
Those improvements will begin to slow, but hopefully the retooling of some of the infrastructure that will be the bedrock for further development will cause the economy to pick up, you know, over the next, you know, 24 to 36 months. The only challenge we have is that, you know, we believe, at least from our shop, that within the next 12 months, irrespective of who wins the U.S. general election, you may see a slowdown, and all of the economic data points to a slowdown.
As people adjust to the transition or to adjust to the new realities or whatever those realities are, eh?
That's correct. And you remember during the pandemic, a lot of people were pumped up with free money, and a lot of those persons have spent those things. So if you look at housing stats, automobile purchase, just generally look at all of the restaurants, they all beginning to struggle where their growth in revenue as well as net income is slowing, and in some instances negative. And so we think that will have an impact, and so we'll probably see the U.S. Federal Reserve reduce rates within the next 6 months to come out. The only challenge is, given an election, they may be less inclined to reduce rates before an election for fear of being criticized for supporting the incumbent. So, but, you know, overall, we think we're beginning to see a slowdown. But, you know, I think this is why what the government is currently doing in terms of transforming its energy sector would allow us, even in a slowdown, if we then allow the execute properly, persons will be getting anywhere from, on the low end, 100, 200 to as much as 500, 600. A reduction in their light bill.
But let me ask you a question. Have you had an opportunity to see any of the other islands and get a sense of what's happening in there? Because let me, as an example, I happen to believe, and I mean, I can't say this based on any numbers, but I anecdotally think that Freeport's economy is picking up. So you've seen that or anything else on the other islands? I know, because a lot of times we tend to be Nassau-centric.
Oh, no. I think if you visit Eleuthera and Abaco and the Exumas, man, things are really, really headed north, which is positive. And again, the challenge in those islands, as we know in Eleuthera, no water, no power. I mean, what is the government supposed to do? Once they get those things fixed, I think you're going to just see these islands taking off even more so.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, economies can move and grow, and some people will almost automatically get the benefit of that, and other people might not. If you are giving some guidance to the public of the Bahamas about how to take advantage of benefits that come, even if the benefits come in the form of your, you get some money saved because of your electricity bill, what should we be looking at going forward? Because I think that a drain on this economy happens to be the personal income and balance sheets of Bahamians, not just the broad situation.
Yeah, huh? I think, unfortunately, this is where personal responsibility comes in. And in many instances, people rely too much on the government. And I think, governments over the years has enabled that class. And it's probably time to wean off that and provide the infrastructure that is necessary for, the younger generation to become more independent and less dependent on government by availing opportunities for small businesses, etc. If we take the cruise port, for example, over 30, 40 new businesses out there are doing okay, right? These are new people. Mm. These are not the old tenants who are there, who are still in there as well, right? So you have to create the opportunities so the young, imaginative, innovative entrepreneurs have access to capital as well as have access to mentoring and then have access to these opportunities.
Right. And working people, working people who might, and of course you can tell me if this makes any sense, who might think about, taking whatever savings you get and deleveraging a bit so you could free yourself up for opportunities when they come online.
Yeah, but the question though also becomes then, right, or you say deleveraging, right? So, you have to then balance out, for instance, so let's say you have a loan at 4% or 5%.
Mm-hmm.
You just have the Bahamas Grid bond at 8%.
Mm-hmm.
Do you pay the 4%? Or do you invest in the 8% and you keep the difference and then pay down on the principal? So those are just investment education companies.
Or if a part of your leverage is credit cards where your interest payments are 12 and 14 or 16%,
then you're
whether you save better by reducing that balance.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think I agree with you 100% that we should. We should probably, and if CFAL, and I know CFAL is doing some of this on its own with the podcast and others, but if CFAL and others want to help the media outlets to provide some of that education, I think it'd be a great idea if people are getting this while we are going through this transformation that could possibly bring some benefits.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, we try educate, our clients. We work every day looking at opportunities that will enhance their income. And, we'll continue to do that. And this is the reason why, we started that investor education program in the schools to try to, get the young people acclimated to investment and the ability to manage one's finance.
We have to take a break. When we come back, is it okay if we venture into the carbon credit market just to get some understanding from you about what that is about and what is happening on that front?
Sure, but I'm going to have to jump at a hard stop at around 3:45.
I got you. No problem. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I ain't marched the car. The lady who ran into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
We go everywhere. Shop early at Janae's Chesapeake Road annual back-to-school sale going on now. Get up to 20% off on all school items in stock. Yes, all school items in stock. Shirts, jumpers, skirts, boys' long and short pants, school neckties, PE shorts, and a variety of colors and school monograms. Shop early and don't miss out at Janae's Uniform Center Chesapeake Road's annual back-to-school sale going on now. Remember, we go everywhere. Beat the rush and save, save, save at Janae's annual sale now.
Attention Bahamas, embark on an inspiring voyage with two new books by Hubert Ingram, Our Remarkable Three-Time PM. Learn of his exceptional leadership in steering the nation through local and international storms. These books are a treasure for all Bahamians. Are you into history or seeking inspiration? Then this is a must-read. Available at Dungalik, Logos, the National Art Gallery, and Chapter 1. Get your copies today. Be inspired by a legacy of wisdom and vision.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shafago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. We're here with Mr. Anthony Ferguson, president of Kalina Financial Advisors Limited. Maybe we won't get into to the carbon credit. Let me just read some of these texts so you might respond to some of them. This says, Mr. Lang, Bahamians don't need shares. We require access to obtain bonds.
Well, I mean, that's what we just did, bonds. And the rate was 8% for 20 years. It's non-callable for 8 years. I'll just tell you as much. We try to learn from, let's call it our mistakes, right? When we did the cruise port bond, it was non-callable for 2 years. And after the 2 years, the cruise port called their bond and reissued at a lower rate. We did get, you know, some of our clients were not happy about that. And so in this particular instance, we learned from our, let's say, you know, we won't call it mistakes, but, you know, what we tried to do is tighten up the structure such that the pensioners, the pension fund, can be assured of a minimum of 8% for 7+ years.
You know, I get the impression that people think that, okay, so what you should have done was make some announcement on the news or something like that so that they could be able to subscribe and what have you. But these placements work the way you do them, right? Which is you get it out there in the marketplace and people who are in that investing business, I mean, I'm talking about average souls or institutions or whatever, and the bond on the bond side of it could have subscribed. Is that so?
I mean, you know, there was reference to it in the newspaper and social media and stuff. You know, and so I'm not sure what, I mean, we don't have any town hall meeting, so to speak. But, you know, truly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This isn't done any differently than you would have done for all the other things that you would have done a bond issue for lately, right? It's the same process.
Yes. No.
I want to dispel some what I seem to detect in some people's mindset that they didn't have access. But this, as far as I'm aware, it was done how every other bond issue was done.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I would say is, you know, there are other opportunities that will be coming over the next, you know, several months. And, you know, we think would be just as good. And so, again, you know, we will then be more aggressive then, and given the comment that the, you know, the caller or the writer made, and we'll be, we will then probably do a little bit more, let's say PR on it, but, you know,
we did what we usually do in terms of these type of deals.
Right. Well, I know you have to go. We appreciate your joining us today, and thank you for the information.
You're welcome, and, you know, we're available anytime to discuss, you know, matters of importance in the financial world, and, you know, we appreciate the opportunity you've given us this afternoon, and we'll stay in touch.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Anthony Ferguson, ladies and gentlemen, President of Tolino Financial Advisors Limited. We're going to take our final break at this point, and then when we come back, we'll finish up our discussions. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. And the way my mother listens to the show, you can catch us on BTC Flow, channel 612. This text says, Mr. Lang, just came from BPL. My light bill for a small single-story house is double for this month, $900. It's unbelievable. Okay, now, has it doubled? See if you guys... Okay, has it doubled with the same amount of usage, or has it doubled with more usage? Because we know that the base rate hasn't doubled, and we know that the fuel surcharge hasn't doubled. Or has it doubled because there are arrears that you are still paying on? Because that could happen too. So I don't know what the circumstances are, but there is nothing in the way of BPL's billing that would make your rate double simply because the rate has doubled or the surcharge is doubled. Which is it? Check the bill, look at it, and read it in detail, and maybe you can help us understand what's going on. All right, folks, it's Z Live. I'm not going to get in that business of simply just you know, oh my God, look at that. Well, no, I'm not doing that. So it says, okay, we should look at the facts. BPL has a monopoly. They are inefficient as a result because there is not incentive to be innovative. It doesn't matter who is in charge. You know what? This statement is a profound one. Okay, now I don't, but remember, the monopoly is not going to be running the distribution. And first of all, BPL is a government-run monopoly. All of that matters. Government-run monopoly. Okay? Secondly, the new arrangement takes out of BPL a fair amount of the generation, not the Bahamas grid one, but the Shell LNG part of it that we understand is taking place. That would take some significant generation out of the government ran BPL, and the distribution, transmission and distribution would go into a private entity, private run entity side. So yes, you are right. If it's a government run and owned monopoly, the chances of things getting better is slim to none, from my own experience of things. Okay, but that's not what is proposed. It says good day, Lang. We like sensationalism or gaslighting. Reasonable thinking would suggest something untoward is afoot. If one, the T&D agreement has been signed, two, a significantly unrealistic time period has passed and no details announced. I did hear Anton, and what I'm told is still reasonable, but I'm sorry, there are still too many big things going on that I think could have benefited the public just from hearing the government not make some lingual announcements of CM, but let's just come to the public and say, this is what is happening right now. I want you to know big things are afoot. This text is, Mr. Lang, all of this sounds good. Where's the plan? They must know what they expect to accomplish by when, what it would cost, what the impact on the consumer is, and they must know this in detail, or else why would they be able to ask persons for $131 million? But of course, Mr. Ferguson said that, though. This is, you could hear from his language that they have a plan. The details with which he spoke, you could tell that they have a plan. I mean, you may not have seen it, but I think it was pretty clear, right? What I was talking about in terms of details was, I'm talking about the details of the agreement that the government made with any entity. That's what I'm talking about. Antoine says the government made an announcement that the HOA, the heads of agreement was signed. All right? Well, if the heads of agreement was signed, there's details in the heads of agreement. We can know that. We have to wait for an operational deal to know what is in the heads of agreement. How many heads of agreement the government signed with people and operational things was not known? You could tell people what's in the heads of agreement. That doesn't seem very difficult to me. It's Texas, how crazy is this that Anton off the street and Anthony Ferguson are the only people to give us an overview of what is happening to our power grid? Who is Anton? Anton, they showed you who he is today. And you have access to people. See what is peculiar about, again, Anton is able to come on these shows, give perspective, sometimes, I'd say enough times, that represents credible perspectives on things. Today, I thought he was 100% on what he said. But think about that, though. Anton isn't generating that information. Anton is getting that information from people who know. Well, if they know, they can tell what Anton is doing and tell the public. I get vexed with Anton. because he's trying to help the cause, or he's trying to be helpful in the situation. But if Anton cannot know more than the government knows. And if Anton gets information, he has to get it from the government, and the government has the information to tell Anton, they can tell you. And make Anton the media czar. Say, Chicago, my fuel surcharge has skyrocketed in my last bill. My actual electric bill is around $180. But the fuel surcharge is over $200, giving me a $400 bill. I am very upset. Okay, bro, I understand. I hear that. That could be upsetting for sure. In Texas, I'm not. First of all, though, the fuel surcharge is supposed to be based on very fundamental things. And then by law, the government could pass it on to you by law. Okay? It's Texas. I'm not questioning Mr. Ferguson's expertise. I just find it extremely weird the government's zero communication on this monumental change, and to have Anton come out as a spokesperson. Who is he? Why couldn't the minister release a statement to say he said X, Y, and Z? Okay. I can't really say why either. I just know. If you can get the information, you get it. I don't know. But let's not get caught up too much in the weeds. We will, as somebody said, texted to me, we'll see what we see. Because if the benefits to be had are, as Mr. Ferguson says, they will be significant and helpful. I don't know that that will stop people from being critical of the government for the way it has communicated this. I don't know that that is true. But nonetheless, I'm sure people will be happy for the benefits. As Texas, Mr. Lang, let's be clear. Generation is the key. Before you can transmit and distribute, you have to generate correctly. But Mr. Ferguson also said, before you generate correctly, or what you generate correctly still has to be transmitted and distributed properly, and that can be a restraint on your generating capacity. And I agree with you 100%. The generation got to be right. Ooh. So T&D is secondary. The root problem is generation. Okay. So BPL under this new model, BPL will not generate. They will not transmit. They will not distribute. They will pay someone to generate. They will pay someone to transmit and to distribute. BPL will be stripped and left naked. But I did, as I listened to Mr. Ferguson today, remember what Mr. Ferguson said? Well, when the government forms a quasi-organization, like when they form the Public Hospitals Authority, right? So some people in the government service had the choice to leave the government service and go work in Public Hospitals Authority. Never an easy decision and always anxiety ridden. Mr. Ferguson said, BPL employees who may work in transmission and distribution will have a choice. You could stay with BPL, but doing what though? If BPL isn't generating, isn't transmitting, isn't distributing, you stay in BPL to do what? And then there are others who could decide, okay, I'm going to move over to the Bahamas grid. That must be a great incentive package. Presumably, their terms of employment won't change, the contractual arrangement. But that is never an easy situation for people. Never. But that's a new understanding today. Because remember, We were told that employees would not be affected. Well, they wouldn't be affected if they stay at BPL getting paid, but transmitting and distributing, that's going to be done by a new company. So the proposal is that the government keeps all these folks employed who may stay, and I guess redistribute them in the company. So there are things. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
How you doing? It's Alan Johnson. Don't spend too much time on the BPL, knowing that you're at time. But let me just say this, right? Just note that the significant growth we need in our economy won't happen until the next FNM administration under the leadership of Michael Pintard is returned to governance. I just want to make sure Anton knows that all he wishes that his PLP to do will be done and more. The incoming FNM administration understands the path to digitalization, datafication, digital transformation that needs to occur in our economy.
But you can't get a free ad on me, man. You got to pay me something for this ad.
I'm just succinctly can understand what I'm saying.
<It's ad. Huh?
laughs> what happens is we have so Antoine is very good at aspirational statements. What we need,
his statement today was an aspirational because in fact, unless you suggest he's lying, what in fact he said was he learned, and I can tell you I know why Antoine took the step to go and find out what was going on, right? See, right. He told what was happening, so that's not about aspiration,
right,
that's about facts.
But I'm saying to you, let's see. That's what I'm saying. We don't have enough time, right? But let's use an example. You stated the same thing. You stated the same thing. When you come in with a smart grid, there's reduction of employees to run a smart grid, even for generation, and there's a new skill set that's required to run those grids. So when you say you're going to maintain, but it's going to get fired, nothing's going to change, everything will remain the same. And then we're talking and merging T&D as well as generation as being almost as one and the same and synonymous with the prices going down. Each one of them has its own attribute. And these are things that not Anton have. What Anton came with is some talking points that sounds good if you want to look at a menu. But if you want to know the taste of the food, Anton didn't bring nothing to eat. And that's plain and that's plain and simple. And I'm simply saying is that there's so much more. Let me just say this line. When people begin to generate, if you have a policy that allow people to come off the grid or begin to contribute to the grid, that changes the dynamics of the transmission and distribution and the generation. And that's all part of going to a 21st century. These are the conversations we're not having. So I'm simply saying is, please, PLP, stop trying to gaslight us. Bring us the information and let us that understand the 21st century and what is needed for the economy to have a conversation or input in. Thank you so much.
We got you, man. Thank you, Seattle. You still owe me some money for that free ad, though. This text says, Mr. Lang, tell Anthony need to pay for his own show and let Brave and Fred pay for it. Let him talk rubbish on his own. He ain't no Bahamian. He is solely PLP. Man, you can't say that about Anton. Anton has walked with the PLP from on occasion. You can't say that. So, Mr. Lang, I see no changes with my light bill. Me and my family were off the island for 3 weeks with no one in the house. We came home to $588 light bill. Well, the Prime Minister said, your July bill ain't come out yet. So you have to wait. Because he invited us to watch. So we're going to look for the July bill. This text is, Mr. Lang, what happened to KYC? Who are the principals of Island Grid? How were all the T&D assets turned over? No one knows who the partners are. One of the partners you know is the government of the Bahamas. So what do you mean you ain't know who the partners are? Mr. Lang, the convention has been over. When will Jobert answer Mr. Pintard waiting? It says, good day, unless they intend to put everyone's supply underground to safeguard it from storms, then working on T&D makes sense. But we all know generation is the problem. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening today. You've been listening to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could tune in. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life. Take care.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.